Welcome to episode 2 of the Allyship series of the DU podcast. I'm Julie.
And I'm Anna.
And today we're speaking with Alan Gilbert.
Hi.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
I've been a faculty member at the University of Denver for many years. And before that, I was a student organizer for SDS and the International Committee Against Racism. And before that, I was a graduate student at Harvard, was the leader of the Harvard strike and expelled for 2 years and readmitted by majority vote of the faculty. And I've been an anti-racist all my life. And so I'm afraid that I have never had the slightest sympathy for white supremacy, which I believe is an anti-human, anti-white, anti-Jewish, anti-everything, and especially anti-Black and anti-Native American. So that probably, you know, at least that's a rough introduction. And I've written a lot of books on this theme. For example, Black Patriots and Loyalists Fighting for Emancipation in the War of Independence, in which I uncovered that the main soldiers who were killed at Yorktown on both the British and the American side were, as a German private says, Moors, Black people. And that was fascinating.
So how did you get involved as an ally in fighting racial injustices? Could you like explain your background in that a little bit?
So my parents were sort of lapsed radicals of various sorts. I can remember watching watching the 9 children try to go to school in Little Rock and the gang of racists out there. The famous picture of a young racist with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, kicking a kid who was on the ground. So anyway, we were watching the news, it's a little more frank than the news is mostly, and a National Guardsman popped out of the whole ranks. He just couldn't stand it. And he hit this guy with the butt of his rifle. And my father cheered, which I will say, I cheered too. So I will just say, I could describe to you many things about it, but to the best of my ability, I have fought racism and imperial war ever since, here, there, and the other place. And I'm a senior faculty member at the University of Denver, and I really admire a lot of the people who work here, and both on the senior faculty and especially in the senior administration, actually. Have always, for a long time, it's no longer true, but for a long time I thought that they were much better than the leadership at my school. And so I hope that helps.
Yeah, okay. And then could you explain your involvement with DU and the John Evans Report? And with that, could you explain who John Evans is and the controversies that follow his name?
So I've been involved in support for Native Americans since I came here, but I did not understand the issue as deeply as I might. One example is that one of my students was Carol Birdbear, and she helped lead a protest, which I helped organize and speak at, about a story in the Denver Clarion written by a young woman who talked about, you know, slathering her body with suntan lotion. And there she was out in the sun, but then a horrible big Native American man, his shadow passed across her, and she was so frightened. And she, anyway, so went on like that. And it was just full of racist crap. And the editor of the Clarion at the time, later ran a newspaper, had published it because he would have known if it, sort of like the DU administration, they would have known if, the nickname Pioneers was the nickname Klansmen or the nickname Conquistadores. Probably they would know that this wasn't such a good idea, right? But it happens that it struck him aslant, this issue. And he actually also spoke at the rally. And Carol and several Native Americans spoke at the rally about this. And the paper published an apology about it, there's a whole controversy about it. And there are other examples. So the state capitol, and we looked at the anonymous soldier of the Civil War in front of the state capitol. It was put up around the time that the leadership in Denver was changing from racist to the Ku Klux Klan. And the statue memorializes Evans and Chivington, who carried out the Sand Creek Massacre, and many of the soldiers who participated, and calls it the Sand Creek Battle. And all of the massacres, there are four of them in Colorado by Union soldiers in there. They were just massacres against indigenous people.
Professor Alan Gilbert is referring to the John Evans report that he and many other professors contributed to. The report uncovers that John Evans, the founder of DU, is tied to the tragic killings of many Native Americans during the Sand Creek Massacre.
The emblem of this is a Native American painter, and he had a beautiful painting which the Anthropology Museum had for a while, and made you cry. And it was a mother talking to her child, saying, "I will see you again." Behind him riding up was a Union soldier in blue with the sword raised. You want, by the way, the pioneers, take that as your emblem. Maybe you should go get that and put it on some wall. I mean, you know, people ought to look at it. I'm speaking about this in a pretty sharp way because it really is extraordinary. Bob Coombe, whom the racists at Let's Go DU, who applauded the chancellor's unfortunate decisions, I think the only time I disagreed with him about anything. He's really an interesting and powerful and courageous leader. And about this issue, he's not. And actually, I had the interesting thing about, I had a Native American student in my classes this year, or last year, actually. And she said, "Well, you know, we didn't think he was so great when he came to talk to us." So I said, "Oh, he's better than that." And of course he isn't. Although he is very sympathetic on these issues for reasons I'll describe. And the history is much more interesting. DU has done more about this than a lot of people think. So anyway, Bob Coombe brought 8 descendants of the Cheyennes and Arapahoes. I read the Let's Go DU racist sheet, and they're all on about how you should look about, we're never gonna give up the name pioneers. And he should ask Coombe, because there's pressure from the trustees, some of them, about this, which is hard. He was moved to do right about this issue and to say something decent about this issue and to, you know, push on this issue. And through the efforts of students and faculty and Native Americans and administrators, you know, there have come to be about 25 to 30 indigenous students on the campus. We're still no good in terms of recruiting Cheyenne and Arapaho descendants. I personally have tried running into some resistance, but I will just say about it that there has been a real effort made and the school has become decent at all because of the presence of these students. So that's how I became involved in the issue, but maybe I could fill in one other just broader historical aspect. As a result of this report, Governor Hickenlooper talked to the three other living governors on the eve of, I think it was the 13th or 14th Sand Creek Memorial Healing Run, which is done by the descendants of the Cheyennes and Arapahoes every year from Eads, Colorado, the national monument to the Sand Creek Massacre, to Denver over 4 days, usually starting November 29th. So they get to Denver about December 3rd. On December 3rd, after going to the gravesite of Silas Soule, they go to state capitol. And Governor Hickenlooper, whom as a politician I don't like, but I like it better than the alternative. But this is an issue on which he's been very good. So Hickenlooper apologized on the steps of the state capitol in the name of the people of Colorado and three other governors to the descendants. And I will say that this made a difference. If you'll forgive me, I'll fill in one other detail. And then this summer, because of Black Lives Matter, the movement that saved democracy in the United States and has created a presidency in which a man who would not have said this before, running with Kamala Harris, so on an integrated ticket, having been the vice president to Obama, said after the insurrection that we have to defeat the forces of white supremacy. And in the midst of that demonstration here and in New Mexico and other places, statues of Bishop Onate, who was an incredible racist and enslaver, came down. Enslaver of Native Americans, that was practiced by the Spaniards around here and by the English in South Carolina. And this is the worst statue I'd seen. The governor, Paulus, didn't know anything about the issue, so he said, it must have been pro-Confederates who took the statue down. So I wrote a letter to this, the city council and him, but also which contained the article I wrote in Westward, which is that we have to listen to the voices who've always been there, but especially now, who have been eradicated by, you know, wiped out in elite circles out of murderousness. They don't want to listen to these voices. They have to listen to them. And told the story about what the statue represented. And I spoke with three or four city council people who were sympathetic. And I also wrote to that they have a board considering naming the statues. And so I left the issue then. I didn't even go to the hearing. And I got a letter from a wonderful student of mine, a Philippine American student. And he said, well, you're concerned about this issue. I thought you'd like to know that they're replacing this with a statue of a Native American woman who has been hurt in the massacre and whose child has been killed, reaching out with her hand. In front of the state capitol, we're going to have a statue, a beautiful statue created by a Native American artist the one morning. But the University of Denver is going to claim the name Pioneer. Ooh, aren't educators supposed to be ahead of the game, not behind it? Better than politicians? Can I hear that somewhere? Doesn't seem like it in Denver, does it?
Professor Gilbert is comparing politicians to our administration here at DU. He mentions that politicians have already acted to take down statues in Colorado that are tied to America's racist history, but the administration at DU refuses to let go of their mascot. Overall, Professor Gilbert cannot believe that educators are behind politicians when it comes to racial injustices.
So speaking of DU, what common patterns have you seen with the DU administration regarding social issues?
Look, the history of DU, DU has been a school with a student body of some privilege. The Clarion used to come out 5 days a week and be a normal college newspaper like the Bulletin. And they ran really a sickeningly patriarchal anti-woman issue. And unfortunately, Richie decided that they would close it down. So that he responded to this was great, but that he did what he did was not so great, if I may say. And so for a while, although it was all right, it became a sort of lifeless thing. Grace Carson, who was Native American, came up as a reporter, and then a couple years ago, wrote a series on what it's like to be a Native American at DU. You know, like the microaggressions are endless. Idiots ask people about teepees. How does it feel living in a teepee? And they probably know more about living in teepees than the urban Indians. Anyway, the whole thing is just, you know, it's brutal. So it's good that there is this group, and they have to fight on things. And I'll say, one of my colleagues, Marie Berry, pointed out that if one person were hurt by the name Pioneers, only one way people were hurt, that would be enough reason not to have it. You should get people to talk about this. This is not a small movement. There's a very big movement here. You know, there are a lot of us. It's not a few. And so thank you for having this. And please continue. And let's give a voice to many people who have concerns about it in different ways. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in. And
yeah, thank you, Professor.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of the 80208 podcast. The next episode will air the Friday after next week.
If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email thedupodcast@gmail.com to get in touch with us. See you in the next episode.